Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is episode 383 of Wheel Bearings. I am Sam Abu Al-Samad from Telemetry Insights.
Yay, and I am Nicole Wakeland from Karmas.
Am I back?
Robbie? Yeah, I'm back.
Sorry, everything froze. Well, this is Roberto Baldwin. I work at SAE International, and I'm in the worst. I'm using the worst internet on the planet. I might as well just have a little modem that I'm just plugging it.
We're all three of us are in Nerd Central right now in Las Vegas for CES, and everybody is I think trying to use the Wi-Fi simultaneously
because it's a million nerds in one place, so the Wi-Fi is awful.
Yeah. All right, Nicole, I think you still had the Enclave, right?
I feel like I have shared all the things I can conceivably share on the Buick Enclave. I mean, I can tell you I do have a Defender 110 that ended up in my driveway unexpectedly the day before I left. I drove it for 5 minutes, so I have nothing. It was great for 5 minutes. That's all I got on cars right now, though.
Okay. Well, Robbie, what have you been driving?
Well, I have the Defender 110's big brother because that's a thing people want, apparently. I don't know why. I get the Defender 130. 130. Ooh. It's an extra 20. It's a, and if so,
20, like
it's
20 better.
Feet larger. It's so big. It's 20, I guess. I am a huge fan of the Defender 90, the smallest little Defender. That's the best Defender. That's the Defender I would get. The Defender 110, I'm like, yeah, I could see, you know, that makes sense for most people. Most people, they want those extra doors so they can get in and out of. Apparently, most people have friends, whatever. The 130, though.
But if you have dogs.
Too much Defender.
You still want to put your dogs in the back. And, you know, it's the seats in the 90 move really slow.
I put my dog in the back of the 90, and he was fine. He's a big German Shepherd. He loved it.
Okay.
Because like me, he loves the Defender. So I had the 130. It gets like 19 miles per gallon. It has three rows. It's cruising along in a it's a mild hybrid 3-liter six-cylinder gas engine. It has 395 horsepower, 406 pound-feet of torque. It's got an 8-speed automatic transmission. So it has all the things that you want from a vehicle like this. It doesn't have a CVT. It's got enough power to get out of its way. It's very, very comfortable. I was talking to somebody about luxury vehicles, and the person was like, yeah, when you get in most of them, you kind of don't feel like you're getting, you know, the step up that you expect. And I'm like, well, come out and get in this Lamb. And he sat down, and immediately I was like, oh yeah, this is nice. So that is the experience you're still be expecting from when you get in the. We're still not sure if the fade is a bug or a feature when it comes to the infotainment system. I think some of the question, but who knows when it's gonna come through with our horrible internet.
which engine do you have?
I had the 3-liter six-cylinder engine. Yes. Yeah, the gas engine. Yeah, it's got the 22-inch wheels. They have an adequate amount of sidewall. That was like sort of my concern when I knew this car was coming in, was that the wheels would be so huge, and then the tires would be teeny tiny, and then you wouldn't have adequate sidewall for off-roading. This one did have adequate sidewall for off-roading, so that's nice. It's still a very comfortable car. It's still a very capable car. It's still one of those cars where if you were to buy it, I would say this should be your second or third car. Or if you're like Roman from TFL, the third owner of this car.
Yeah.
You sort of work out all the kinks. You just kind of want to work out all the kinks with the.
Yeah. Roman bought a Defender 90 a couple of months ago. And when I was out in Denver visiting our daughter, I drove up to Boulder and had lunch with him, and we went in the Defender 90, and that thing is really nice. I hadn't driven the 90 before. I've only driven the 110, which I think the 110 is like the really popular one.
Yeah, that's sort of the middle ground everyone's gonna get, but the 90 is the best one. So I got the 90 first, and I was like, this is great. And I got the 110, I'm like, this is a little less great. And I have the 130, I'm like, well, this is even a little less great. There's not a lot of room in the second row, even when you put the seats back, if you're tall. So if you're a tall person, sit behind a tall person, sit behind a tall person, it's not going to be great. Even though the second row slides forward and back a little bit, they had the captain's chairs, so you can sort of squeeze in between if you need to get into that third row. What's some of the weirdness with this? It's $100,000 is one big weirdness. So that's a lot of money for extra friends. With all the bells and whistles that they gave me, it was 106, which is even more money to have friends. I'm trying to tell you that just friends are very expensive.
Would you charge friends to ride in this thing?
I feel like I should. Yeah. I mean, the second row is heated and cooled. So, you know, it's got the fanciness. So I feel like that's worth at least a couple bucks every time someone gets back there. They're like, I want to sit in the captain's chairs, and I want my seat heated and or cooled. But overall, no, it's still the Defender. Defender is the only vehicle, actually, Range Rover vehicles and Land Rover vehicles are the ones that are least likely to work when I walk up to them with the key fob in my pocket without pushing the button and having the automatic unlock. Like sometimes it unlocks, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I got to reach in, you know, they have the little button you push and it'll unlock it. Sometimes I have to reach into my pocket and push the button. And it's happened on three of their vehicles. So I'm not sure, maybe my pants are too thick. Maybe I need to put them in my other pocket to get closer.
You have a Faraday cage later in there.
Electromagnetic field. Sometimes.
Do you have a... Yeah.
cruising around in my Faraday cage pockets. I like the Defender. I like the 130 a lot less than I like the 110. And I like it way less than I like the 90. The 90 is the one. That's the one to get if you're... most people just get the 110. And I understand. You have friends. I don't, so it's awesome. I have dogs and a wife, and that's all we need.
Perfect. All right. Anything else on the Defender?
No, I don't think so. It's big. It's too big.
Yeah.
It's like a boat. It's almost like a navigator. I'm like, well, that's not what I want. If I want a navigator, I'll be a navigator.
I had something even bigger than that. I had the the new. Uh oh, did you lose your connection? No, you're not frozen. We can see you. Nicole and Robbie and I all travel a lot for our jobs. We've flown hundreds of times. We probably should know what to do if anything goes wrong, but just in case, the airlines play that safety video every time, and they keep changing them up just so that we stay interested in them. Going online without ExpressVPN is like not paying attention to the safety demonstration on a flight. Most of the time, you'll probably be fine.
But what if one day that weird little yellow mask drops down from the overhead and you have no idea what to do? Every time we travel, we end up connecting to unencrypted networks or strange networks that we don't know in coffee shops, hotels, airports. Every time I step into a Delta Sky Club, I usually end up hooking up to the local network there because a lot of times the cellular networks don't work so well inside airport buildings. But when you do that, a hacker, any hacker on that same network, can gain access and steal your personal data, passwords, bank logins, credit card details, etc. It doesn't take a whole lot of technical knowledge to do it. You can just buy some cheap hardware, and even a smart 12-year-old could do it. That's why they call them script kiddies. The data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling your personal info onto the dark web. ExpressVPN stops hackers from stealing your data by creating a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. ExpressVPN is incredibly secure with really robust encryption that would take a supercomputer over a billion years to crack. It's also really easy to use. Once you install it on your phone, laptop, tablet, or any other device, you just fire it up, click one button, and you're connected and protected. Works on all your devices, your phones, laptops, tablets. I even have it set up on my Chromecast with Google TV at home, so you can stay secure on the go. It's been rated number one by top tech reviewers like CNET and The Verge. I've personally been paying for ExpressVPN to protect myself for several years now, and it is so easy to use, and you'll never notice a slowdown in speed compared to some VPNs out there. You know, as in the work that I do as an analyst and a consultant, it's important to protect both my own personal data, but also client data. So using a VPN is critical no matter where I am. Secure all your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/wheelbearings. That's expressvpn.com/wheelbearings. And you can get an extra 4 months for free. expressvpn.com/wheelbearings. Do it now.
At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you know you can support Wheelbearings directly? Head to patreon.com/wheelbearingsmedia and you can become a patron today. Your contributions will help fund the platforms and tools we use to bring the podcast to you. And exclusives and improvements are already on the way thanks to your generosity. So if you want to be part of an automotive podcast like no other, head to patreon.com/wheelbearingsmedia. We've updated the Wheel Bearings merch store, and now there's a whole bunch of new choices, new colors, new styles, T-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, hats, mugs, travel mugs, stickers, aprons, tote bags, you name it. You can get your Wheel Bearings merch at shop.wheelbearings.media. Go check it out. That's shop.wheelbearings.media.
So I had the 2025 Infiniti QX80 Lux four-wheel drive.
Fancy.
This is the fancy version of the Nissan Armada / Patrol that I think is only sold here in North America. I think Infiniti, after trying to go global a few years back, when Johan Dineisen was running the brand, they've basically scaled back everything and abandoned every other market except for North America.
Did they really?
I believe so. Yeah. And I think if the Nissan Honda merger ends up going through, I wouldn't be surprised if Infiniti disappears entirely, but for now they're still with us. And the QX80 is well, when my wife and I went out to dinner and she went to climb up in this thing, she said, what is this behemoth? I mean, this thing is massive. It's a big.
It's this a monstrosity big, that's making me ride around in.
It's a big three-row SUV. For this generation of this platform, for, you know, the Patrol, Armada, QX80, Nissan has ditched the old V8 engine that they had in here. Like most others, it's now a twin-turbo V6, 3.5 liters, 450 horsepower, 560 foot-pounds of torque. For what it is, you know, which is a really big three-row luxury SUV, it's actually quite attractive. I like what they've done, you know, as they've continued to evolve the Infiniti design language over the last few years. The kind of feather look to the signature lighting on the front and the rear, the way the grill has evolved, the lights, the headlights that are down below, you know, so the signature lighting is across the top edge, you know, at the leading edge of the hood, the top edge of the front corners. And then when you get inside, it's really nice inside. It's a lovely place to spend time. The one that I had.
Does it feel nicer than the previous gen?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Let's see. The one that I had, was, what do they call this? It is Coolest Red, which Ooh, is a, you know, a deep Coolest, C-O-U-L-I-S. I have no idea what.
Oh, it I
means.
Thought it was like, isn't that cool? Like,
it could be
like fondly cool. Like, I'm like the coolest red.
Well, it is cool. You know, it's sort of a kind of a burgundy color. Very attractive.
I just looked it up. It's really pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. Works really well on this thing. So it's a sharp looking vehicle. It feels kind of taller and broader shouldered than some of the competitors like the Escalade. You feel like you're sitting up very tall in this thing, and the greenhouse feels very upright. It feels very roomy inside, and there's a lot of glass, you know, so you can see out of the thing, which is always handy. Although, you know, it does have a very tall hood, and a relatively long hood. So, you know, you can see out of it, but you won't necessarily see anybody that's standing directly in front of you, which, you know, is a common problem on most modern trucks, full-size trucks and SUVs. The powertrain is great. No complaints about the powertrain. It's got more than enough power. Let me get back to the spec sheet here. With that 450 horsepower, there's a 9-speed automatic transmission. It's got full four-wheel drive. It has a four-wheel drive low mode, which why you would actually want this on this vehicle with these big, like they're like 22 or 23 inch wheels, with very large tire, you know, with very slim sidewall tires. But you know, there it's there. You know, if
sometimes
if you, I guess,
there's an,
you know,
there's like an angle to the target.
Yeah, it could be. The one I had the air spring suspension, so it drops down when you park it, when you put it in park, you know, to make it a little bit easier to get in and out. And then it lifts up when you start to move, and you can lift it up higher to go off road and you know, quickly puncture those low profile tires. But you know, well, overall, you know, it was very pleasant to drive. It's not very fuel efficient. I think I averaged about 17 miles per gallon with it.
That'd be tough on a road trip.
Yeah. But you know, then again, if you can afford to spring for, $98,648.
Wow.
You can probably afford to put gas in this thing. It's
a lot of money. And then for an Infinity where people are like, oh, I don't know, especially now.
Yeah.
And then would you buy one given what's about to happen potentially with Nissan and Honda?
I mean, the Armada will still be around for years.
I know, but yeah. We can buy a QX80.
If I was in the market for a large luxury SUV, I probably would. Because the thing you gotta keep in mind is I think most of the people in this market buying this type of vehicle at this price point are leasing it, so they're getting a 2 or 3 year lease. So they're replacing it every couple of years anyway. Plus, Nissan itself is not going away. So, even if the Infiniti brand ends up getting wound down, it'll probably be several more years before it goes away. And, mechanically, this thing is, common with the Armada. It's on the same platform, same powertrain and everything. So it's not like you're not going to be able to get it serviced. Nissan dealers are going to continue to provide service for this thing indefinitely, assuming Nissan stays around. But I think that's going to happen, at least for the life of this vehicle. I think Nissan will still be around. In addition to the red exterior, this one had the sepia brown leather interior, which it looks like caramel. It's really nice. Seats were comfortable. It was nice heated and cooled seats in both the front first row and second row. This had the ProPilot Assist 2.1 option, which is their hands-free system. I tried it on several occasions, and it was strangely hit or miss on whether it would even activate. There were times when I would take it on the same stretch of highway, and one day it would work, and the other day it wouldn't go past the hands-on mode, and it wasn't clear why. Yeah, I don't know why. When it did activate, it worked fine. Had no issues with it. So if you want a hands-free system, it works okay. It was a little weird. But other than that, it's a nice, full size three row utility. Got a decent amount of towing. Let's see. Towing capacity is 8,500 pounds. So you can, you can tow a pretty nice big size boat or decent sized trailer with this thing. The third row seat has a good amount of room. Although with the third row in use, there's not a whole lot of cargo space behind the third row. Yeah. This is not like, if you need to do long road trips with, six, seven, eight people, you'll probably want to get, a rooftop carrier, or you may want to opt for something else like a Suburban or, a long wheelbase Escalade or a Wagoneer L that has more cargo space behind the third row. So there's a good amount of passenger space, but not a lot of cargo space behind that third row. It says it's 22 cubic feet, but that's more because it's tall. The depth of that third row cargo area is pretty shallow. I used it the other day to go drop off some, we were doing some cleanup and went to drop off some stuff at the thrift store, and a couple of big bags of stuff, kind of just barely fit in there. One other really odd thing a couple of odd things that I experienced with it. One was that on two occasions, when I got in and went to drive away, I realized that the tailgate had opened up for no apparent reason.
Wait, what?
Don't know why. Yeah, the tailgate opened up.
Like the little.
How open did it get before you realized it?
Fairly quickly. It's like I noticed the extra noise from coming from outside, and I looked back over my shoulder and realized the tailgate was open. So that was kind of weird.
Oh my gosh. Did you figure out why it happened?
No. I don't know why.
Mystery. The other mystery tailgate
was the infotainment system. So this has Nissan's new infotainment system, which is now based on Android Automotive with Google services, like a lot of other automakers. And unlike when I had it in the Rogue last year, it was kind of flaky. It did some weird stuff. Well, first of all, Nissan, you know, did not have the connectivity enabled. So it only worked for maps, you know, but if I tried to download any streaming apps or anything to it, that didn't work. And then the other thing, was if, you know, if I hooked up my phone and used Android Auto, sometimes it would drop the connection to the phone, and then the system was not responding. And basically, I would have to stop and reboot the whole thing in order to get it to work again. So there's some software glitches with this. Now, this is probably a pre-production car, may not have been updated. But it was one of the glitchier systems of this type that I've had.
Skinned it for Infiniti, they broke something.
That could be. That's possible. So would you like to take a guess on the destination charge?
On the Infiniti, let's see. Destination charge, I'm going to go with $1,295.
Robbie?
Oh, $1,400. Sorry, I keep saying things and then it doesn't go.
There's a weird delay.
There'll be like 5 minutes from now, you'll hear $1,400.
It was $1,995.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, this is a big truck. You know, costs a lot of money to ship it.
I guess I won. But no one wins when the destination charge is $1,995. Yeah. There are no winners.
Only Nissan.
Only Nissan wins in that game.
Wow.
Yeah.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's move on. Let me find the right tab here again. Okay, so we're all here at CES. Were either of you here in 2017?
I don't think so. Maybe?
Yes.
That's unless, did you go, Robbie?
It's 17 years of CES. Yeah, I've been here a lot.
Did you go to the big Faraday Future event in 2017?
I had a whole interview with them. I had a whole thing that I did with them. I wrote a whole big feature about how they needed to impress everyone. And then they shoved us in a tent and it was really cold. And then they showed took off. And then we shot video, I think. And yeah, it was a whole thing. That was the year I was riding one of those little electric scooters. I think it was a Mahindra electric scooter around. Yeah, it was the best because I just rolled up to every event and the scooter. It was very cold though. Well,
I think one of the most memorable things about that 2 hour press event was they ran a video for about 90 seconds, maybe 2 minutes. There was just nothing but showing earth movers moving dirt around on the site of what was supposed to be their new factory in North Las Vegas. That's about as far as that factory ever got, was just moving some dirt. They never poured any concrete. They never did anything.
Earth movers got some money.
VinFast's factory and wherever that was in the Carolinas? Did anything ever happen with that besides dirt moving?
I don't think so. I think that's about as far as they got as well.
Yep.
So, you know, from there, that was pretty much the high point of Faraday Futures history. And it pretty much went downhill from there. And they quickly ran out of money several times over and somehow kept managing to find somebody to give them more money to keep going. And supposedly they've delivered about a dozen of the FF91s that they showed back then.
To who? So they told me that they had built a dozen mules. So the word that a 12 seems to be their magic number for something. So who knows? But they're no, that's a Biden. Never mind. Sorry, go on.
Well, anyway, Faraday's back here this year. They're not doing a big, huge event like that. But they are doing some private offsite briefings tomorrow, and Nicole and I will be attending one. So we're recording this on Sunday afternoon. A few months ago, they announced a second brand called Faraday X, which is going to be cheaper EVs. Supposedly they've done a deal with like four different Chinese OEMs, and they're going to have a couple of different models. That they're going to be offering, one priced between $20,000 and $30,000, and the other one between $30,000 and $50,000, and including range extended versions. No idea where they're going to build these things, who's going to build them. You know, if they're if they're going to be built in China, that's going to be a problem. I can't see how they bring those in for any kind of reasonable price point into the U.S. with the tariffs now. Any thoughts before you and I see them tomorrow, Nicole?
I have a lot of thoughts. I just feel like this is one of those where it's just waiting for it to disappear kind of things. Like, we were kind of waiting for that with VinFast. We were waiting for it with Fisker. I feel like we're waiting for it with Faraday.
Yeah. That sounds about right. I've been kind of feeling that way since about January of 2017 when we first saw the FS91.
Like, how is it still like it keeps popping up in conversation? Like, wait, that's still a thing? Like, yeah. I thought that was gone.
Well, yeah, I mean, at some point there in about 2018, 2019, most of the executive team of Fisker or of Faraday left. And they went off and started another company that was initially called eVelocity, eventually got rebranded as Canoe.
And it's just died. Didn't Canoe, or are they officially dead?
They're not officially dead. They're in the process of dying.
They're in the process of dying.
Just before Christmas, they put almost all of their employees on involuntary unpaid furlough.
Right. Yeah.
I just read something yesterday that they have been selling off manufacturing equipment from their factory. That's never a good sign. Yeah.
If they're doing that, then they're done.
Yeah. Last I heard, I think they had maybe $1 million or something in the bank, which is not great.
That's nothing. I mean, for you or me in our bank account, it's something. For the car company, it's nothing. Let me just clarify that.
Yeah. For regular people, that's a lot. For a car company.
For car companies, that's horrifying.
That's the money you use to do R&D on your blinkers.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Let's talk about something a little more realistic. Our buddy Andre from TFL. He back in 2020, he bought a Bohanka. Andre is Russian, as his COVID project, he bought this Bohanka, which is a Russian van.
It makes me think of a Volkswagen Beetle, bus. Excuse me.
Yeah, kind of. But the engine is actually in the. Well, it's in the front, between and behind the front seats. The stock engine is this little four-cylinder engine. It's four-wheel drive. So I see Robbie kind of making weird faces. It's kind of like the, you remember the Toyota Previa?
Yeah.
In the 90s?
Yes.
Mid-engine van. It's kind of like that. So the engine is down.
Okay.
There's a doghouse between the front seats. The engine's kind of down. It's behind the front axle and behind and between the front seats. So anyway, Andre decided he wanted to replace that four-cylinder Russian engine with an LSV8. And so for the last several months, he and David, one of the other guys that does a bunch of work, builds a bunch of stuff for TFL. They've been working on this thing for probably about 6 months now, doing a V8 conversion. And they've posted two videos now. First one was last week, and then another one, I think yesterday or a couple days ago. And they got it running. They actually took it out for a first drive.
And it works?
Yeah.
So the transaxles, did they redo those? And then I just feel like things are going to snap.
That's why I feel like I'm like, did it work for more than 5 feet before it just like split itself apart kind of thing?
It worked. They were driving it down the road. They got about a half mile down the road and then it ground to a halt. But that's only because they forgot to put more gas in it. It ran out of gas.
That feels very on brand. Okay.
Yeah. They walked back to the barn and got some gas, poured it in, it started up just fine. So in addition to the LSV8, they put a 700R4 transmission, which is a GM 4-speed automatic transmission into it. Originally, they were going to use the 3-speed, but then they realized that the final drive ratios on the axles, the original Bahanka axles, were like 4.56:1. And, you know, so this thing was going to be basically maxing out, you know, with a 3-speed, it was going to have a maximum speed of about 60 miles an hour, which actually probably isn't a bad idea, but you wanted to be able to, they wanted to go a little bit faster than that. So they put in a 4-speed instead. It's the two videos that they've posted so far, they're each about an hour long. If you're interested in interesting builds, fun builds, it's pretty fun to watch to see what they had to do to get this all together. Basically, David had to do a lot of fabrication to make this all work.
It seems like there's so many things you'd have to do to get that to work because it's not, you know,
Andre spent a fair amount of money on this thing.
When he bought it straight up or trying to do this swap?
I think he said he paid about $4,000 for the van. He bought it. Where'd he get it? He get it in like Abu Dhabi or somewhere. And had it shipped over. And then for this conversion, I think he's spent about $12,000 or $13,000 all in.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is like a $20,000 project.
Yeah. But, you know, he's having fun with it.
I'm sure he's having a blast.
Yeah. I don't know how crazy his wife is about it, but he's having fun with it.
Yeah, right. Don't mention that.
Yeah. All right. On some less positive news this week. There were a couple of incidents that happened on New Year's Eve, late New Year's Eve, and then early in the morning on New Year's Day. The New Year's Day thing happened here in Las Vegas. And in both cases, people died, unfortunately. The Las Vegas incident, a Green Beret, an Army Green Beret, loaded up a Cybertruck with a bunch of explosives. And parked it in front of the Trump Hotel here in Las Vegas and shot himself and lit off the it was filled with fireworks and some camp fuel. So he died and several other people were injured. But Nicole, you wrote a piece that we posted on the Wheel Bearing site about that. You want to talk about that a little?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. So I actually reached out to you, Sam, because when it was first happening, people were saying, and there were this, you know, the Cybertruck saved the day. If not for the Cybertruck, the building would have been taken out and all these horrible things would happen, or, oh, the Cybertruck did this. And then I was genuinely curious. So I'm like, hey, Sam, got a moment? I want to know what's going on. Because I thought, A, you're an engineer, and B, you're a car guy. So what perfect person to ask how much the Cybertruck being the truck that he picked could have actually impacted that entire situation and lessened the how bad the explosion was. And I think what you said is, like, yes and no. Like, could it have? Yes. Do we know for sure? No, because there's so many variables in here. Like, when you look at the stainless steel skin of the Cybertruck, yeah, that would tend to keep things in. It's not very giving, and it could be, you know, kind of contain things a little bit. But even all the little fireworks mortars and things, the angle that they're placed in the truck could matter. So if they were all going straight up, they're going to naturally want to go up. So if you have everything pointing up, everything's just going to go up. If you had it pointing out to the sides of the truck, then it might have pushed more to the sides of the truck and potentially would have caused more damage. So do we know how much the Cybertruck actually made things better? No, there's a decent chance that it did, and like it would have fared better than something that didn't have sort of the structure of the Cybertruck. But until the amount of research and data that has to be collected, and I think Elon Musk has been pretty good about, like, here, guys, here's everything, you know, as far as data about how the what was happening with the truck. But just, it's like a maybe. There's no definitive yes or no on this. That's my understanding, Sam.
Yeah, that's about right. The truck was filled with fireworks mortars. And, you know, those are designed to go up in the air. You know, you light them off and they fire straight up into the air. And, you know, they're in a tube that is designed to contain the thing. You know, it's just the powder that launches it, you know, and then the actual fireworks themselves are designed to go off when it gets up in the air. So there's a delay there before that part of it is ignited, you know. And if the mortars were all stacked in the bed and in the cab facing straight up, you know, that's where it's going to go. And it's not going to really have much effect on the sides of the vehicle, on the structure of the vehicle. And, you know, it looks like, you know, from what we saw photos and videos, you know, the structure of the vehicle was largely unimpacted, although the interior was obviously completely destroyed from the fire. The tonneau and the glass was all gone. A day or two after the incident, you know, Elon went on the site formerly known as Twitter and said, yeah, we're going to get that truck back and refurbish it and put it back on the road. After that, pictures showed up, from the Las Vegas police, you know, of the investigation cleanup, and, you know, they had actually cut the roof off of it to get the guy out and to do their investigation. So yeah, that thing's not ever going back on the road.
It's dead.
But it, you know, it, what it didn't do is it didn't impact the battery. The battery never ignited, which is good. So that's,
well, and I think that's something really important. A lot of people were initially too saying, like, yeah, that's what happens. You have a, you know, you set something off in a truck like that and it's electric and explodes. The battery didn't explode. It was the stuff in the truck that he had put there that exploded.
Yeah.
It was everything else that was in the truck.
Right. So despite all that happening, the battery did not explode.
Yeah. I mean, you could see from the videos that were posted, you know, there was a security video from the lobby of the hotel looking outwards. And then there was another video from outside. Yeah. It was clear, you know, that the nature of the fire was the fireworks, you know, and you could see them still, you know, getting lit off, you know, fireworks going off. From the truck, you know, it was not, you know, a battery fire, you know, looks distinct. It tends to be more of a bright white flame because it's so hot, you know, and it's a different kind of flame that you get from a battery fire than you would get from something like this. So it was clear right away from those videos that it wasn't a battery fire. It was explosives. Mm-hmm. You know, my first thought, you know, before they started announcing what happened is, you know, that it was just some doofus, you know, with a truck full of fireworks that, you know, maybe accidentally lit off. Right. You know, I mean, it was, you know, New Year's Day, you know, in Las Vegas. So, you know, anything can happen, but you know, it was, you know, in retrospect, it turned out to be a deliberate act, which is unfortunate, but, you know, certainly, you know, the structure of the truck did seem to hold up well, and the battery held up. So that's a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good thing. And it'll be interesting as they get more detail about exactly what happened with that. I'm sure there'll be more information about what the truck did and didn't do to contain things, but it's definitely an interesting study of what happens when you do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, while we're on the subject of EVs, the Q4 and December sales numbers started coming out on Thursday and Friday with the start of the new year. And not all of the numbers are released in detail yet, but I went through the stuff that was available and started compiling some sales numbers for EVs. And turns out the EV market hasn't actually collapsed yet, despite the fact that Tesla's overall sales for 2024 were down a little bit from 2023. The EV market has not in free fall.
Yeah, those numbers are actually not horrifying. Things are doing quite well.
But everyone told me. Sam, everyone told me this thing was going to happen. It was horrible. It was the end of the world.
Nope. Nobody wants EVs, right?
No one's going to buy a computer. Yeah. It was like when no one wanted Apple computers.
Explain to me how the BZ4X has sold that much more. I do not like that car.
It is a Toyota. I think that the BZ...
But it's a BZ4X.
Toyota people love Toyotas. Period. Mm. I think the Prologue selling better than the Blazer. I think that has to do with people. Honda people love Hondas. That's where it comes down to.
Yeah, that was one of the interesting details from all of this. Turns out the best-selling GM-built EV in 2024 was the Honda Prologue.
Wow.
They sold 33,000 units of that one versus 23,000 Blazer EVs and almost just shy of 29,000 Equinox EVs. And 28,000 Cadillac Lyriqs. So it was the best selling GM built EV.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it. It looks like Audi had a rough go of it though. Audi's numbers aren't fabulous.
No. Audi did not do great.
Like they're either down or just up a teeny skosh of a bit.
Yeah, the Q4 e-tron did okay. It was up a little bit. The e-tron GT numbers were down. The Q6 e-tron just went on sale right at the end of the year, so they sold about 966 of them. The Q8 e-tron, which is their original EV, that one's down quite a bit. But overall, Ford was up 34% in their EV sales. Hyundai Motor Group was up 25%, and it's actually going to be probably a little bit more than that because I don't have the Genesis EV numbers yet. Toyota Motor Group was up 92% for the BZ4X and the RZ, the Lexus RZ. GM was up 51%. Nissan was up 50%. Rivian was up 12%. Volkswagen Group was down 34% because the ID4 didn't do well either.
Right.
And then BMW was up 12%. So, Stellantis, you know, just started selling their EVs. They just started some deliveries of the Wagoneer S at the end of the year. And they sold a few hundred Fiat 500Es as well. Overall, you know, they're doing pretty well. We don't have Tesla's breakout for North America yet, or their US sales yet, because Tesla only publishes their global numbers and they don't even break it out by model. It's just Model 3 and Y and then everything else. Yeah. overall their sales.
When it gets out into everything else, you know, things aren't great.
Yeah. So Cybertruck, Model S, and Model X are all lumped together. And estimate that Cybertruck did about somewhere between 35 and 40,000 units.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
What it is, I mean, how hard it is to build the damn thing.
Right.
But towards the end of the year, I mean, Cybertruck sales really tailed off a lot. Yeah. And there were reports that they were shipping Foundation Series Cybertrucks to Tesla service centers to buff out the etched Foundation Series logo on the doors. I don't think sell them as regular models.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's not great.
Nah.
Definitely. Why is my Cybertruck really shiny in this one spot?
This one spot is super, super bright. What happened here?
Hyundai, aside from Tesla, which we don't have their numbers yet, but about all the other manufacturers, Hyundai sold the most EVs, 117,000. GM was just behind them at 114. Then Ford at a little less than 98,000. Honda at a little over 40,000, and Rivian at about 51,600. So
that's
and BMW was 51,000.
Yeah, that's good for BMW. They're not a big
yeah.
I went somewhere for Christmas, and we went and stopped at a charging station, and there were six charging stations. Five of them had Hyundai Ioniq 5s. And like one was like an Ioniq 4. Yeah, and then like four of them had dogs. So I feel like the Subaru people need to like get on it. Because I had my dogs, the people next to me had their dogs, like two other people had their dogs.
So you're saying Subaru should be partnering with Hyundai instead of Toyota to do EVs?
I don't know. They got to get some dogs, and they got to get some Subaru EVs with dogs in them before the Hyundai people like realize what's going on. They're like, hey, we also love dogs. Everyone loves dogs.
Yeah. Okay. One more story, because we're going to keep it short today.
Yes.
Because of bad Wi-Fi and stuff.
Yep.
Toyota. By the time you hear this tomorrow, Toyota will have had their press conference. They're going to be talking about an update about Woven City, which they initially announced here at CES in 2020. So they're providing an update on Woven City. So the Woven Group, or Woven by Toyota, they've changed the name a couple of times over the last 5 years. At one point it was Woven Planet. Now I think it's officially Woven by Toyota, is sort of their umbrella organization for all of their future mobility stuff that they're doing. And so that includes, you know, that Woven acquired Lyft's Level 5 autonomous driving unit back in 2021. They bought a company called Carmera that was doing crowdsourced mapping, similar to Mobilize Road Experience Management System. They're investing in May Mobility for automated driving. And Woven City is supposed to be this from the ground up community that they're building that is both a test track and an incubator for new business and technology ideas. So they have completed construction of the first phase of Woven City. Let me find it again here. So they completed construction in October of the first phase of buildings. And so there's going to be about 100 people moving in. So the building include some residences, some businesses, and they've got several partners that are going to be moving in here. They're referring to their partners as inventors. There's some startups and some other companies. So they've got a company here that is testing pollen-free spaces and personalized functional environments. Another one that is creating new value through innovative vending machine concepts. So that's clearly a very Japanese thing, because vending machines are everywhere in Japan.
Funky vending machines, yep.
Yeah.
I love Japanese vending machines so much.
They call the people weavers. I just said that residents and visitors known as weavers.
Yeah.
They're weavers. Okay.
They've got another one, Nissan Food Products. There's doing creating and evaluating food environments to inspire new food cultures. Not sure what that means. UCC Japan is exploring the potential value of coffee through futuristic cafe experiences.
Do we need to explore the potential value of coffee? I think we know it's already there, but go ahead.
Coffee people are going to lose their minds about this. They're very excited.
And then leveraging data to realize innovative educational methods and new learning environments. So they're going to be testing this stuff out and some mobility concepts. So the first phase will eventually accommodate about 360 residents. And when phase two and subsequent phases are completed, they expect to reach about 2,000 residents. So the initial 100 people are primarily Toyota and Woven staff and their families.
I like how they say Toyota and Toyota-related personnel.
Yeah.
Like Toyota adjacent.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I mean, right now the first phase is about 50,000 square meters, which is it's a pretty good size place.
That's really cool.
I'm not sure exactly what that amounts to in freedom units, but
I can't do that kind of math.
Yeah. They start moving in this fall with the official launch of phase one. And then they're going to continue construction on subsequent phases after that.
I want to live in the Woven City.
If I get free coffee and a cool vending machine, I'm in.
They're supposed to have like little robots, like single person, like little robots. You can get like a single person Bev.
Very cool. I went in on this.
All the things.
I think they'll be using the e-pallet vehicles there.
In a Woven City.
Yeah. And yeah, the idea behind Woven.
Oh yeah, the e-pallets.
Yeah, the idea behind Woven is that they're weaving everything together into an ecosystem.
Get it?
It's weaving.
It? Like a basket.
Together. Like a little
like basket. even their little logo is like a little looks like a little the bottom of a basket.
Aw, how clever.
Yeah.
All right. Live in the Woven City.
Let's wrap up with a question that we got from Andy in Australia. He's a patron. So he sent this via Patreon, and I forgot to include it last week. So Andy says, where are all the Qi2 MagSafe phone chargers in cars? So MagSafe is the variation of the Qi wireless charging standard that Apple developed when they launched it a few years ago on the iPhone, that in addition to the coils that are in the phone for charging, they included magnets so that it actually holds your phone or your device in place. So it's located for optimum charging. And then that stuff that Apple did as MagSafe got incorporated into the Qi2 standard, industry standard. And so Andy goes on and says, surely a built-in magnet stabilizing system and a wireless charging phone are a match made in heaven. No more phones sliding off that wireless charging pad headaches. Keep up the good work. I don't know. Have you guys seen anything or heard anything from any OEMs about Qi2?
I'm trying to think if I've ever seen that, but that would be fabulous because, you know, like you said, you'd have your phone sliding off when you take a corner or go over a bump or some stupid thing and suddenly it's under your foot. I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah, I haven't heard any automakers. I mean, I think the Qi2 standard was only announced about a year ago. And yeah, it's not even really in any phones yet. But yeah, I've got one of them. I've got a case on my phone as well, even though it's an Android.
Can't see mine.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
it takes a while for that stuff to filter into the auto industry because, you know, they've got to find suppliers to build the components for the vehicles and then integrate it into the vehicles and test it and make sure there's not going to be any problems.
It seems like there's lots of aftermarket stuff for it, but just nothing.
You can buy like phone brackets and holders
to put in your
with magnets in them. Yeah, that clip onto your vents or on your right. windshield, and you can just stick your phone on there and it charges. Nothing from any automakers yet. But I would guess probably next year for 2026 models, we'll start to see it.
That'd be very cool. I'd be happy to see that. Yeah. That'd make me happy. Definitely, Andy, in Australia.
Yep.
Yeah, they want to make sure it sticks around. A lot of tech stuff happens, and then like 2 years later, it's gone. And then now they got to like build it out, add it to a car, and figure out blah, 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 blah. Make sure it doesn't go sliding off and hit the passenger in the face.
I think this one's going to stick around. I don't think it's going to go anywhere because Apple's supporting it and other companies are supporting it. So I think G2 is going to be fine.
All right.
That's it for this week. We'll have probably a whole bunch more stuff next week because it was a slow news week, you know, New Year's and everything. Not a whole lot happening. And we'll have more for you next week. So,
all right. Bye everyone.
Bye.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.